T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews. Hope you enjoyed Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. And if you missed it or missed part of it and you want to hear it again or share it, please do so at KMOX.com. Also, you can find it on our free app, radio.com. And thank you very much for that. Want to parlay the hunting talk with a buddy of mine who I call the Miracle Hunter because Cletus L. Hound Dog III, his nickname, suffered from GBS, or Guillain-Barré syndrome, a few years back, and he's been on the mend, and really, other than his speech, he is back to normal and out hunting, actually, and he says deer hunting isn't all about deer hunting. Cletus, welcome to the show, and how many people did you have at deer camp last weekend?
Usually there's 11 of us opening day, but that particular time last Friday, there was only actually 4 of us. We all ain't seen each other in a while, and it's kind of fun to sit around and shoot the breeze.
So the hunting is really secondary to the camaraderie.
To us, it's more about getting together with a group of 10 or 11 guys. We all hung on 320 acres, so you have to pretty much mind your P's and Q's about what you do. You have to be safe, you know.
Well, of course.
And that's number one, is to be safe.
Man, with that many people hunting in one general area, it's got to be tough, because you always hear about the scent you put off. And there's products at sporting goods stores that cover up scent so the deer can't smell you. How do you feel about that?
You kind of have to mind that a little bit. Don't take that salami sandwich up in the stand with you, because it's not going to work.
And what about when you got to take a leak? You don't pee out of the deer stand?
Sometimes. It just depends on, kind of depends on the night before sometimes.
You can't control it.
You know.
That comes with age.
I told the guys I hunt with, this is all cause and effect. There's so many variables that come into play when you're doing that kind of stuff. You know, wind and wind direction, if they happen to hear you when you're peeing out of the stand, if it's hitting leaves and making a bunch of noise, you know, they're going to hear that and see you. Plus, you have to stand up and make motion.
Did you say something? You can't bring a salami sandwich in the deer stand?
Yeah, especially bow hunting. I wouldn't bring that hog salami up there with you. You know, because if the wind's going in different directions and something like that, you know, that real smelly food. I know a guy that brought coffee cake up there all the time. He never did see deer. But it just happens to be where, it just happens to be which way the wind's blowing.
Maybe it's the fact that it's venison salami you're bringing up. Maybe they're smelling the venison part.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe they smell Cousin Rick up there.
So how did you do over this past weekend?
I didn't even see one deer.
Did you have coffee cake in your stand?
I didn't. A lot of people take coffee, and I'm not going to go sit up there without coffee. But I also look real close, especially downwind from me, when I open a coffee thermos, because they're going to smell that real quick, too. The one thing about it is, and I'll quote Ted Nugent, when it comes to hunting, there's so many different people and so many different ideas and so many different theories on all this stuff. When it comes to a man's choices about hunting, shut up. Because half the time they're not going to agree with each other anyway.
So do you archery hunt or no?
Yeah.
And are you going to yet this year before it's over?
Me and the boys might go down and do alternative method, which is pistol and black powder and crossbow. We might crossbow hunt one or two more times, but I don't know. With my health the way it's been and the GBS thing, I might end up having to not go. But that's another thing. I can't do the cold. at all.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, you know, you say alternative methods, and Eric is, of course, a vegetarian. So her suggestion for alternative methods would be to wrestle it to the ground.
Cool.
Good luck with that, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't hunt.
Yeah, I was wondering what would happen if you jump out of a tree and land on one. I'm sure you'd be going for a ride.
I just think the coolest part of the whole thing is that the camaraderie of deer camp is even more important than the actual deer hunt.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of it has to do with that. You enjoy hearing everybody's stories. You enjoy hearing, you know, when you actually go out and hunt and a couple of guys have a good day in the harvest. You want to hear their stories. You want to hear where it came from. You want to hear the shot placement. You want to hear how far it went, you know, and give everybody a chance to talk about it. And then if there's something doesn't go just right, like I had the tag for it, but I couldn't see the antlers on this deer that was walking down the hill because they were behind his ears.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a doe, you know. The sun was kind of in the scope here and there, and I went and rushed the shot. Then I walked over there, and there's four little points that are sticking up about 2.5-3 inches behind the ears. That was my trophy for the year at the ranch where we hunt. The guys are like, when you make a mistake like that, that deer rat goes on the outhouse wall because that's the wall of shame.
Oh,
and
I got
one on the outhouse wall this year.
Well, hey, good luck with your alternative hunting methods, and be safe, and bring me some venison.
All right, brother.
The guy is truly a miracle. And I'll tell you, when he was going through Guillain-Barré syndrome, or GBS, in the hospital, couldn't even open his eyes, had no control of his body, but his mind was there the whole time. And what was amazing is the St. Louis Cardinals. He listened to the games every day in the hospital, and that is what kept him going every single day. Another reason to say go Cards. It's At Your Service. I'm Bo Matthews. There is more coming up on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews, at your service, and it is a big travel time around the country, but even a lot of people are making St. Louis their destination, and we have an opportunity to find out more. If you have not been downtown, like myself, in a long time, everybody's hearing about the Wheel, but there is so much more at the old Union Station. I guess we still call it the Union Station, but let's get from St. Louis Magazine, the associate editor, Samantha Stevenson, on the air. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. So intrigued about the Wheel. I drive by it when I come downtown, but I haven't been in it yet. But I wanted to know what is available to be open, or is the whole thing ready to go?
You know, a lot of it is already open. I think the only thing that isn't open just yet is the 1894 Cafe. But there are other great restaurants that are already open, including the Soda Fountain. So if you've seen pictures of those great, they call them Freak Shakes and Phosphate Sodas, there is that open. And then there's also the Train Shed, which is kind of a more contemporary American food restaurant that you can take your family to.
So it is still called Union Station, right?
Yes, yeah. I think we're calling it the Aquarium at Union Station, the St. Louis Aquarium at Union Station, but it is very different, I think, than what it was when it first started.
Well, obviously you have cred to be able to go into that that property and be all around it. I'm sure you've spent a lot of time there. Have you done what's available so far? Have you gone up in the big wheel so far?
Yes, I have. And, you know, you read that it's 15 minutes, but I have to say, you really feel like you're in there for a long enough time to check out the St. Louis skyline. And it's, you know, it's air conditioned in there. They have music playing. It's really enjoyable.
So it's air conditioned or heated, yes?
Yes, yeah. It's whatever the climate is outside.
The opposite of whatever the climate is. Okay. And so when you think about some of the coolest things that you've seen so far, is the aquarium the star of the show?
I think it is still going to be the star of the show for many people. But, you know, since it's not open just quite yet, there are a couple of other attractions that you can go down and see. So what is open on the attraction side is the indoor rope course. So that takes you three stories high, and it's kind of this obstacle course of ropes. But there's also a zip line, and that takes you over the actual Union Station hotel lobby, or the Union Station lobby. So that's pretty cool.
So did you go the three stories high on the ropes?
I haven't yet. It is definitely on my to-do list.
But you've seen it. You've seen it, right, Samantha?
Yes, yeah. And so for the younger kids, if they're not tall enough, there is actually a children's one that's called
It's a version of it, right?
Yeah. It's for the younger kids. And you can actually, as a parent, be on the ground and watch your kid go through it.
Gotcha. I'm so excited because, you know, there's so much to see in St. Louis and families that bring in their families. If you're listening right now and you're thinking, wow, our family's looking for something to do this afternoon, this might be a great opportunity. Because even though you mentioned the aquarium is not open yet, do we have a due date for that?
You know, they haven't released that just yet, but I feel like a lot of the buzz has been definitely before the end of the year.
Of this year?
Yes.
Wow, that's exciting. I was thinking about what they would have. I've been to Atlantis at the Bahamas. I don't know if you've been down there before, but you walk through this tunnel and you are under the water and you're seeing all the aquatic life. It's just beautiful. Do you know some of the biggest animals that they're going to have in there, and how in the world are they going to get them here?
You know, I don't necessarily know how they're going to get them here, but I do know some of the ones that they're listing off. Actually, in our December issue, which is where that article that you read is in, we did a whole feature package about the aquarium and kind of how it's come to be, you know, the many faces that Union Station has had. And yeah, one of the most interesting is what's going to be in those tanks. So just a few, there's going to be the gray reef shark, the giant Pacific octopus, piranha, cardinal fish, sea dragon, and of course you can't forget Lord Stanley, that blue lobster that donated to us after the Stanley Cup win.
That is so cool. What a great job you have. You have to go do this. I'm sorry, Samantha, you're going to have to go do this as your job.
Oh, yes. It's definitely not a bad day when you see that that's on your agenda, getting out of the office and going down and, you know, checking out what's happening right there. It's amazing to see it on the horizon of St. Louis, just how much it's changing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, a lot of people come here just to go to the Arch, and that's a half a day event to go and see the museum and everything and then go up in the Arch, maybe tour Anheuser-Busch. But now St. Louis really has a gem with this Union Station property and all the changes that they've been doing.
Yeah, and what I would say is that I just kind of looking around, you know, they have a carousel, there's playgrounds, places to take the kids to eat and snack. It kind of feels like you're walking along Branson's bustling street, you know, where you have all these different, like, roller coasters and different activities on the side.
Yeah.
It feels like all of that just under one roof, personally, for me.
That's so cool. The mirror maze, is that up and ready to roll for everybody?
Yeah, so that actually just opened. And so they're saying I haven't had a chance to experience it yet, but absolutely going to go at the first moment I can. It's supposed to be this funhouse-style labyrinth, reminiscent of a 1904 World's Fair attraction. Of course, you have that, you know, that St. Louis tie-in. So there's a wind tunnel, a hall of doors and sounds, and it sounds like there's going to be a lot of things that jump out and entertain the kids as you're going through.
Yeah, there's just so much. And you know, the thing is as a younger man, I loved playing miniature golf, and they've really set the stage for an epic mini golf course. Yes?
Yes. 18 holes. It's right, you know, it kind of is right next to the carousel. So you have the Ferris wheel as your background, and it's ADA accessible. So you can bring everyone around to come check it out. And it's 18 holes.
That's so cool. You know, Missouri, we are really putting to the moniker the show me state. We've got so much to show you. If you've got family, aunts and uncles, little kids trying to, you know, figure out what to do with them, you come downtown and there is so much to see just at this one property. So really, the headline of your article was there are seven new attractions at Union Station that are part of this. And the good news is we really are not far away from the aquarium opening, which is part of the name of the property.
Yeah, no, it's probably, I'm sure that's coming any second now, as we all are, you know, buzzing with anticipation. But the other thing I wanted to add is that in addition to these new things, Union Station had a couple of gems that were there before the redevelopment. You know, there's that fire and light show right there on the water by Landry's, which I, you know, I've lived here and I didn't know that was something that you could do.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you go inside Grand Hall, they do another light show displayed on the ceiling. So you can have, you know, maybe a date night. You can have some dinner. And it's really neat. They do it just kind of projecting different beautiful images over the wall.
Can you imagine how many proposals will happen at that property? And it could happen in so many different areas.
Yes, I know for sure probably the biggest one is going to be the St. Louis Wheel, though. When I spoke with the general manager, she said that at the Washington, D.C. property, which that company also operates, they see a lot of proposals at the Ferris Wheel.
So we haven't had one yet, though, that you know of?
Not that I know of. There might have been. Another big thing is gender reveals. So with those LED lights, you can change those to be whatever color your baby is.
In the gondola?
Just like, you know, when you're looking at the outside of it.
Whoa. So, okay. There's pregnant people out there right now that are wanting to do a gender reveal party. How do they arrange something like that?
Now, that I don't know.
Just call.
Yeah.
Go online.
They're probably going to get so many calls.
Gender reveal party. So they can change the lighting of the whole wheel just for one couple.
Yeah, they said that they've done that at the D.C. relocation, so I'm not sure how that would work here just yet.
Boy, this is actually a better story to hear about a gender reveal idea party than the one that was breaking news about a week ago. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it was disgusting. I was like, what are people doing? Something is wrong with this world. But everything is right with St. Louis and downtown at Union Station. What an exciting, exciting thing. I cannot wait to get down there myself. Again, I feel bad. Most everybody, certainly in the grand opening of the wheel, you know, media people from all over were there for it, got to ride in it. I wasn't there, Samantha. I don't know.
Even the Stanley Cup got to ride in it.
Oh, no. An inanimate object got to ride the wheel before I did. What's up with that? Well, is there anything else that you want to add to this? Have you gotten to know Karen Wilder, the general manager over there? Have you gotten to know her just because you are St. Louis Mag?
You know, I've gotten to speak with her a couple times. I have been in line and seen her. I saw her, you know, speaking with people and engaging, and I had to say hello.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she's quite busy and loving every minute of seeing. I'm sure everyone. And has brought their families down by now.
I cannot.
Except for you.
Except for me. I can't imagine the weight on her shoulders with this undertaking and being, you know, the one that's leading the pack on this whole project. I mean, every time I drive by, I've been seeing all the construction equipment going on, and that'll end eventually when it's all done. But I just can't imagine, you know, one person and the responsibility she's hanging on to.
No, I can't either. And I actually interviewed her before the wheel was open, asking kind of more for specifics about the wheel. And she said that the best part about going to work was everyone walking by and asking, when's the wheel going to be open? When's the wheel going to be open? So I can't imagine knowing that much about what everyone in St. Louis is talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one more thing, Samantha. As far as hotels, obviously there's a lot of hotels downtown St. Louis that people can have their family stay at and stuff. But is there still hotels on the Union Station property, do you know?
Yes, there's still the Grand, or I don't know the official name, but there still is the hotel at Union Station that you
can
stay at.
Okay, gosh, how great would that be to book a room there and then be right in walking distance to everything else?
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah. You'd walk out the door and there's the water and there's the great St. Louis Wheel and plenty of food options.
So very cool. Samantha, thank you so much for your time and including us in and sharing what you now know about all the attractions going on at Union Station. I wish you a very happy holiday and thank you for joining us on The Voice of St. Louis.
You as well. Thank you so much.
All right. This is The Voice of St. Louis, Voice of the Cardinals, and we've got more coming up, including information about the real ID. You may not need it yet to fly, but you're going to within less than a year. It's coming up next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews, at your service, and there's a lot of people traveling this holiday weekend, and I got to thinking about this real ID. I've been seeing a couple of headlines here and there, so I went straight to the source. I've got the director of Missouri's Motor Vehicle and Driver Licensing Division, Joey Plagenberg, and welcome to the show, sir. Thanks for your assistance in this. I think this is going to be good for everybody.
Thank you so much for having me, Bo.
Okay, so when it comes to this real ID, and there are some people that say, I'll never fly. I'm never going to fly on a plane. You probably don't need one of these, but there are other places where you could end up using a real ID. Can you explain first why the change?
In the aftermath of 9/11, one of the things that the federal government did to try to prevent a tragedy like that from happening again was they enacted what's called the Real ID Act of 2005. And so what that did was set a certain level of standards across all the 50 jurisdictions for purposes of issuing driver licenses when those driver licenses are used to enter federal facilities, to fly domestically, to enter nuclear power plants, places like that.
Okay, so beyond flying and nuclear power plants, which I visit on a regular basis, I'm kidding, federal buildings, courthouses and things like that, you're going to need this to go in.
Yeah, and what we see most prevalently are folks trying to get onto military bases, actually, because, you know, Missouri has several military bases and a lot of folks that have family members in the service. And so we see it come up more there than, say, federal courthouses. I imagine if you're, you know, charged with a federal crime, they're not going to say, well, you can't come in and go through all that.
Yeah, I get that, but if
you don't have a real ID.
but hold on, if I need to go to my county courthouse because I was called for jury duty, would I need a real ID to enter?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a state courthouse. These are federal courthouses.
I got you.
So
that's
there's major federal courthouses in KC, St. Louis, here in Jeff City, but only for the federal courthouses.
So you said it was called the Real ID of 2005. Has it just taken this long to get it to be mandated?
Yeah, there was a number of jurisdictions right around that time that immediately jumped on board, immediately passed enabling legislation in their states and enacted and standardized their process for issuing driver licenses. There were a number of states that had privacy concerns and held out for various reasons. Missouri was actually one of the late adopters for the Real ID Act as well. That's why we only got authorizing language in August of 2017.
Wow. So the wheels definitely have turned slowly to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people are traveling this year, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and you're fine right now because the deadline's not till October of 2020. But the next question is, what's the process in getting one?
Okay. So Missouri became federally compliant with the Real ID program that we enacted in April of 2019. We actually started issuing the cards March 25th of this year. So basically, it is a similar process to what people had gone through previously when they initially get their driver license. So you need to bring in a handful of documents, basically, that the biggest change with Real ID was that we have to retain the source documents that we rely on to issue the credential to the applicant. So somebody coming in wanting to get a Real ID, they basically need to bring proof of identity,
sure,
lawful status, social security number, proof of residence, and then if they ever change their name, that we need the official document that changed their name. So,
okay.
Marriage certificate filed with the recorder of deeds, divorce decree, adoption paperwork,
wow,
name change order from a court, documents like that.
Okay. So last year I got a new driver's license. I actually need to go and update my driver's license, correct?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
If you're interested in obtaining a real ID. Now, Missouri, like many other jurisdictions, is an optional state. So you don't have to get one here if you don't want one. That said, if you wanted to come in outside of your normal renewal window and obtain a duplicate that is Real ID compliant, Missouri is one of the few, if the only state, that actually doesn't charge an additional fee for Real ID. So when you come in wanting that duplicate, the only fee you're going to have to pay is the processing fee, and the processing fees go to the license offices that are independent contractors that are all over the state.
Right.
So that fee wasn't waived, but the licensing fee to go from a non to a real is waived in those instances.
Boy, you have cleared this up completely. I completely understand it. And since we are right here on the Mississippi, Illinois, you're listening, you might want to check with your local DMV to find out if there's any difference, unless you know, Joey.
The standards are the same across the board, so okay. The requirements should be very similar in Illinois as they are here.
Anybody, wherever you're listening, you could be listening to the podcast in Washington State, and you just punch in your state and Real ID, and that'll give you what you need.
That's what we recommend everybody do, actually. If you get into a search engine and basically type in Missouri Real ID, the very first thing that will come up are a couple of brochures with all the relevant information for how to get a Real ID in Missouri.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Before we go, I do want to ask you why people think the employees of the DMVs are so angry. They're not, are they?
They're not, you know, and we've been working to change that, and I don't see it, you know. I don't see it when I'm out there, but I do occasionally go around, and actually so does the director of revenue. That we have a very proactive director right now that actually goes, and he has a goal of visiting every single license office in the state.
I was kind of kidding. It kind of goes along the same people that say Arby's is horrible or Nickelback sucks. So I'm see where I'm going with this?
I see.
All right, Joey, thank you so much, and I really do appreciate it. Joey Plagenberg, Director of Missouri Motor Vehicle and Driver Licensing Division, thank you so much for all your help, sir, and we hope you have a great holiday season.
Thank you so much, Bo. You too.
Again, as Joey mentioned, if you have any questions about whether you need a Real ID, how you're going to get it, just do a search engine and punch in Missouri or Illinois and the words Real ID, and it'll come right up. This is At Your Service. I'm Bo Matthews. There's more to come on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews, and want to bring in a guy that a lot of people know on this radio station and also in this town. As a matter of fact, I didn't realize I knew him until you walked in the room. And Aaron Perlett, welcome to KMOX, sir.
Thanks for having me, Bo. I appreciate it.
This is crazy because the first time we met was you had the mustache. What was it called? The
American Mustache Institute.
And it's still going? You still have your mustache.
Yeah, I still have facial hair. It's when it's needed. It's kind of one of those superheroes that swoops in when needed.
Sure. Great organization, if I remember. It's probably been, what, 4 or 5 years since we saw each other last?
It was longer than that because the organization was founded in 2007, so it was probably somewhere around 2010.
No. Okay, nine or 10 is what I was thinking.
Yeah,
okay.
A long time ago.
And he is also, I want to mention, the co-founder and partner at Elasticity. So not that you're being interviewed for a job, but what is Elasticity?
We're a marketing communications firm.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, we do work all over the, with everything from the state of Missouri to Capital One, H&R Block, to Federal Reserve Bank. We help a lot of brands and organizations market things and stuff.
That's great, man. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Actually, the story about you came up from producer Dave Klein about a milestone and now a second milestone, even since I first saw this story. First of all, can I say congratulations on 20 years?
Thank you very much. Yeah, my wife's a very tolerant woman.
Did you have a practice wife? See, I did.
I did not. This is
you're
family
lucky.
Number one.
Oh, so. Good.
I'm thinking about number two, but... Yeah,
no, we'll... you're not. No, you're not.
Maybe not.
No, I loved your post. 20 years, 6 cities, 3 kids, 38 dogs, 38 hairstyles, and proud of it.
Yeah.
But the bigger milestone that I wanted to talk about happened... a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, is you hit a year of being sober.
Yeah.
And I read the post, and it moved me because my family has been affected by alcoholism. Matter of fact, just this morning I talked to my cousin, holiday connect with family and stuff, and he's been sober 28 years. And so when thinking about your story, I thought, okay, Kyle, tell me about 1 year sober Kyle. And so he started to go back into his mind and his memory, and I wanted to let you know that it is possible. But tell me what happened a year ago. What the heck?
Yeah, it's a great question, what happened. You know, I think for a long time I knew that I had a problem with alcohol.
Right.
I'm really good at starting but not good at stopping.
Sure.
And I'm sure owning a bar wasn't that helpful, but I still do. But I just, you know, I started thinking about kind of my life and the problems that had occurred in my life, and I could tie about 90% of those problems over my lifetime to alcohol.
Right there, yeah.
And, you know, like most, I think a lot of people, I started drinking in my teens.
Yeah.
And I think when you are told that you know that alcohol is the worst thing ever as a teen, and you're scared away from it, a lot of times what you do is you do the exact opposite.
It draws you right to it. Absolutely.
Draws you right to it, and you know you basically learn how to drink irresponsibly in mass quantity, and that's kind of the thing, you know, to show everybody how much you can drink. So that's how I learned how to consume alcohol, not in a responsible way. And a lot of people are very capable at consuming it responsibly, and I just never learned that.
Yeah, and there are people that can do that, or people that can, you know, smoke a cigarette when they're out at the bar, and then every other day of the year they don't smoke.
Yeah, my wife's that way. My wife can have she loves to have wine when she cooks.
Yep.
She has two glasses of wine and she's done. She doesn't feel compelled in any way to drink an entire bottle of wine or two bottles of wine in a sitting. Because she's very controlled and, you know, she understands how to consume responsibly.
Right.
And she still does. It hasn't been, and it's because, you know, she shouldn't be punished because I can't control myself. So about a year ago, I kind of just reached that point that, and I think I had known it for a decade that I really needed to do this, but it was hard.
Had anybody said anything to you about it?
There had been times where my wife and I had very serious conversations, and no one had ever come and said very directly, "You need to give up drinking.
You've got a problem.
It's a problem for you." And in fact, most of my friends whom I told when I stopped drinking, they said, "I'm surprised you didn't seem to have a problem with it."
Right.
But I did, and it led to me making a lot of bad choices, and so I just, you know, I went out one night and was kind of celebrating with some friends, and I had too much to drink. I drove home, and when I got home, my wife was upset with me, more so because, you know, I put myself in danger, which dangers our family, and I've got two kids. And, you know, I started thinking about the examples I set for my kids. My kids are teens. And
nothing happened on that trip home. Just
no,
the
nothing
fact
happened.
You came home. She knew you had had too much.
Yeah. And so I got up the next day and I didn't really say much. And then the day after that, I told her, I said, "I'm done." And I think, you know, her attitude was, "We'll see." I had never said I'm done for good. I'd said, you know, maybe I'd quit for a month or whatever like that. But I've never looked back. So I just quit cold turkey. I didn't know what to expect because, like I said, I've been drinking since I was 15 years old. I'm 48 now, so 33 years.
I can think back to myself as well. I mean, I remember being 17 years old. I knew I had a half a bottle of vodka in me, straight vodka, and I drove home. I looked at the clock. My curfew was midnight. It's 10 till, and I'm 20 minutes away, and I got pulled over doing 92 miles an hour in a 35. And actually, God rest her soul, my mom's passed, but from cancer. But when she came to pick me up at the jail, she didn't yell at me, she didn't cuss at me, she said it could have been me 1,000 times. And she goes, "Just don't do that, don't do that." And so that was kind of a sobering, pun intended, event in my life that changed. I never drink and drive anymore. So.
Yeah.
Starting in teens when you know it's bad, of course, well, yeah, that's, you know, they say no, that's the one I want. You know, don't date her, I date her anyway, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So have you gone to meetings or anything like that, or are you just doing it on your own?
So when I quit, what I did was, there's actually a meeting right around here, and my office is right around the corner. So I went and found a meeting near my office, and I put it on my calendar for 2 days a week, not knowing how, I didn't know how my body was going to react. I didn't know how I was going to feel emotionally and psychologically. And I never, you know, I was able just to, I never ended up going because I didn't feel compelled.
Right.
And I walked to get to my office every day. The bar that I own is actually in the lobby of Elasticity. I walk through that bar every day. There's alcohol all over my office. It's very easy to get.
Sure.
I literally have a stash sitting in my office, but I've never felt compelled to consume for the last year at least. And I don't you know, attribute that to anything in particular. I just think that, you know, I think everybody reacts to substances and has a relationship with substances in a different way.
Could be food, could be anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And mine was, in fact, mine is anything that I consume. It is that I consume a lot of it and I consume it quickly.
Right.
But if I'm not consuming it, I'm not consuming it. And so I've never really felt compelled, you know, when I'm in a social situation now. I think that the biggest challenge for me has been, there's a tactile component when you're in a social situation,
holding hand to mouth, absolutely,
hand to mouth, holding something, and so now when I'm in a social situation, what I might do is just have a non-alcoholic beer. There's actually a local one here made called Well Being that's tastes like actual beer,
really?
Unlike most of them, and I love it. And I had ironically started serving it at our bar about a month before I quit. And so, you know, I Well Being.
How could that have been? That wasn't even planned.
It wasn't even planned.
I mean, for the big path.
Yeah,
you.
So I might, you know, do that or just have some soda water, you know, some club soda with lime or something like that. But it's just, it's been surprisingly easy. And I think more than anything, it's probably been a really good teaching moment for me as a father.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a son who's 16 who's driving, and then I've got a 15-year-old. And I've been very transparent with them about my inability to consume responsibly, and how I had really, I felt no other choice than to quit. And we want them that if they are, as adults, going to choose to consume alcohol, that they learn how to consume it responsibly like their mother does, and unlike I was able to.
Right.
Or yeah, unable to.
All right, Aaron, hold that thought. There is so much more to talk about Aaron Perlett and his life without alcohol. It's coming up next after the break on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. This is The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews, at your service. Our guest right now is Aaron Perlett, and we're talking about life after giving up alcohol. You know, this is really a perfect time for this conversation because I can remember, I mentioned my family's been hit with people that have had alcoholism, and it was just terrible. You think about all the holiday parties and how people act like such an ass, family members especially, if it's a close-knit family, they're drinking and all that. And I'm not shaming anybody. I'm just saying I've seen it. I've seen it where it's horrifying that this is an event that happened, and then the very next morning, they're like, what would you like for breakfast? And it's like, don't you remember just what happened? I mean, it's frightening what alcohol could do. It really is. So I appreciate you coming in and talking about this because, you know, maybe you just had a bad experience at a Thanksgiving party, and maybe this is a wake-up call for somebody. I don't know. But number one, you survived. You've survived what all you've done, all you put your body through.
That's a good point.
And I'm proud of you for that.
Thank
and
you.
And to talk to my cousin, like I said, who's 28 years sober, to make him go back in his mind to 1 year sober, the biggest takeaway that I got from the conversation with him was, I just feel so much better. I just feel mentally, physically, I just feel so much better.
People always ask me, do I feel better? And it's really hard for me to tell.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm more productive.
There you go.
But I don't know if I necessarily feel physically better, but I guess, you know, and probably because I was
less hangovers.
Less hangovers, and I was
as in zero hangovers.
Yeah, I was probably consuming at least 6 days a week.
Right.
That didn't mean I was always six beers deep or three Manhattans deep, but I was, and so I think probably my body started getting used to always having alcohol and then always feeling terrible and not even realizing it. And it was such a consistent thing for me, I've definitely been more productive. A lot of times I rely on kind of the perspective of my wife because she sees me more than anyone and kind of has a great, very objective viewpoint on just my behaviors. And
she's the one that's going to be honest with you.
She is. And, honestly, she had to tolerate, and she didn't have to, but she did tolerate for my behaviors for the 20 years we were married and the 6 years before that. And I think, we actually talked about it this weekend that she loves me more now that I'm sober and clear-headed and
that's outstanding.
And just myself. And
dude, how can that not make you feel so great?
It,
gosh, I mean,
it does.
That's beautiful, man.
It's I remember she and I were, we had some friends over and we were sitting on our back porch, and this is maybe 6 months ago. So I had, I was sober. And a friend of mine and his wife were there. We had a couple friends, and he had a couple glasses of bourbon. And I was watching him ramp up.
Yep, change.
And I was watching his wife just kind of sit there uncomfortably, kind of having to tolerate it. And after they left, I said to my wife Susan, I said, I'm watching them. I kind of got a sense of what I had put you through. And right. She said, yeah, that was my life. I was always having to be a little on guard because I didn't know what you were going to do or say. And it made me feel terrible, appropriately so. She wasn't trying to in any way shame me. She was just being very transparent with me with the way she has had to feel and safeguard herself and, to a degree, me and everyone around
me
for the past 20 years. So it's, these little kind of these small pieces of perspective that I get from people around me is always interesting. And every day it's reinforced to me that I've made the right decision on so many different levels.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And for those that can enjoy it responsibly, as the slogan is, congratulations, that's great. But there are times that you have to look in the mirror and go, okay, who am I and what am I doing? Am I fun Bobby or not fun Bobby? The old Friends episode. But have you changed in your reactions, whether it's hangover reactions to something in work or something your kids used to do? I mean, that's all got to be better too because you're clear minded.
Yeah, I imagine so. Because you always have a little edge on you when you're not feeling well, right. Or even when when you've got something to drink. I think the road to success is always under construction. And I think one thing that this has done is given me kind of the clear-mindedness to really be more introspective about me.
Yeah.
I'm a deeply flawed human being, and I've always known that I'm very flawed. We're all kind of screwed up by our upbringings.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not unique in that way at all. It's allowed me just to being more clear-minded has definitely allowed me to have more perspective about me and my issues and to try to improve those. Cause the people who have always really frightened me are the ones that just kind of, they lack any semblance of self-awareness.
Right.
When I was drinking a lot, I knew what I was doing. I mean, even when I'm sober, I don't have a lot of self-control.
Right.
So, add alcohol into that equation. But I've always known these things. But I think being sober has allowed me to attack this more.
It doesn't matter if you drink too much, you eat too much, you drive too fast, anything that's dangerous for others. You can always tell that type of person that is doing too much of anything when they change the timbre of the room. Like they control how the room, your wife is just kind of waiting to see what kind of day this is going to be, or, I'm not saying you, but I'm just specifically, anybody can go, okay, who's going to set the tone of the room? And if it's somebody that's hungover, well, there you go. Good luck with that.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've always been pretty extroverted. My wife is pretty introverted, and but I've found that even though I'm a very social being, I've found that, you know, I'm kind of rediscovering myself in sobriety.
Good for you.
And I'm while I'm still very social, I'm a lot less social than I was with alcohol. Right. I think alcohol kind of drove me to want to be at a bar, want to be out, want to be the life of the party. And I still, to a degree,
To do that, yeah. Part of because you're a bar owner.
Well, that and also just my day job too. You know, I'm talking to prospective clients, talking to chief marketing officers, talking about our vision as a company. But I think, you know, it's definitely kind of allowed me to realize that some of that extroverted nature was the alcohol in me. And
liquid courage, right? Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah, it's a social lubricant.
Yeah,
the other thing I found really fascinating is that, and I think this is a natural thing, but people feel like they can't spend time with you who, you know, you used to drink with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way you socially connected with them. And the thing is that for the people that have stuck with me and have kind of just treated me in a consistent manner, whether I'm drinking or not, I've been on guys trips. I've been at bars, whatever. I don't mind being, if someone wants to drink and hang out with me, you know, that's fine. I don't really care. Doesn't bother me in the least bit. At least that's been my experience over this past year as I've been going through this, but it's been really fascinating because, you know, some people have clearly it's made them uncomfortable to the point where they've detached.
My wife has a saying, there's something, not that she says it to me, but there's something about you that I don't like about me. Yeah. Isn't that great?
That's
So for whatever that's worth. Congratulations. Thank you so much for making the walk over to come talk to us. And again, I think it's just sharing a story that could affect somebody else. So congratulations on your last year. I hope you have many, many more happy, successful, aware. You're woke. That's a new word. Come on, Aaron. Catch up.
Yeah.
You're woke, right? Aaron Perlett of Elasticity, and thank you again for sharing the story. And please, if you got a lot out of this message and this story and you want to share it with somebody, you can do that at KMOX.com, and also the free app for your device is radio.com. Aaron, thanks. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Bo.
All right. It is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. We've got more coming up. It's the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews. Hope you are enjoying your holiday weekend. Maybe you got friends and family in, or maybe you're in your vehicle driving to the store for the 17th time because you forgot to get creamer for the coffee or whatever it is. Thank you for tuning in, or heck, you might be listening to the podcast on KMOX.com or on radio.com, our free app you can download to your device. You know, families coming together. Everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody is, hoping they don't offend somebody else. I actually have a list of the 10 most common couple holiday fights and how to avoid them. And I didn't even click on it because I know and I fear that politics might have started an argument in your household, whether it's friends or whether it's family or both. So I'm not going to talk politics, but I am going to talk about President Trump and a book that he had signed back in 1987. Of course, The Art of the Deal was a blockbuster hit for him. He sold it. I read it back in that day, too. But a book that Donald Trump signed in 1987 tops an online auction for this week, outpricing autographs by FDR, Clinton, Carter. But the report is that he signed the book with the words future president on it in 1987. A little prophetic, and it happened. Can you believe it? But he signed a future president in 1987, and it $1,500 is what it took at an auction this week. This is way more than books by other former presidents, including Harry Truman and FDR. It's just, it's kind of crazy. I mean, so if you write a book, you might want to write on there future president of the United States or something like that. That may be a great gift. That may be a great gift that you can maybe give somebody you barely begun dating. And if that's the situation you're in, that is what I really do want to talk about. You got a way here. You got some advice coming. If you are kind of sort of dating somebody, maybe you just started, maybe you met them at the Thanksgiving party. It's that soon, but it seems like it's clicking really well. But if you're finding yourself in that situation, you really want to tread lightly on what present you will give them. Maybe it's the Donald Trump book that you paid $1,500. No, I'm just kidding. You didn't do that. From the New York Post, Christine Buran says she talked with Sabina Suri, the founder of e-commerce gift box company BoxFox, on this very subject about what do you give somebody you just started dating or maybe just started dating again. Maybe you met on Plenty of Fish or Match.com and you're reconnecting. Well, she says functional gifts such as tech or travel accessories for your newish significant other, or maybe it's not even labeled yet, but you want to go with something like that, you know, techie stuff or travel accessories. But nothing really says, I like you a lot more than a 10-foot phone charging cord or maybe a travel neck pillow. Maybe that would be a perfect gift. I don't know. You've really got to be careful. I can tell you this, though. You got to listen. Guys, listen up very carefully. I've learned from my wife, who doesn't care one bit about tech, as a gift, she has a phone. She's got an old laptop. But a year ago, I was stumped on what I was going to get her, so I ordered her an iPad, and I was going to wrap it up as a Christmas gift. But between the time I ordered it and the time I received it, I realized, you know, this is not a gift for her. I need to listen to things that she, you know, that she wants, or she'll make a comment about something she sees on TV or online. Guys, you need to make mental notes, maybe even put that in your phone. Okay, she said she really liked those brown shoes, and again, her shoe size is, and if you don't know, go to her closet. Every pair is the same size, just find the size that way. So between the time I ordered the iPad and the time it came, I really had second thoughts as it being a gift. So I just opened the box. She was standing there in the kitchen. I remember it. I opened it up. I'm like, oh, I didn't tell you I ordered a new iPad because the other one is slower and it was the mini and it was just kind of aging, right? So surprise, we have a new iPad. Well, she does primarily use that. She doesn't know it was a gift originally, but no, it was just a gift for, it was just a utility for the entire family. Now, let's continue on these new relationship gift ideas for the holidays. You got to keep it light. This expert says the minute that you say, here's something, I want you to use this every day, and I want you to think of me every day, that's a different pressure. You got to really, really be careful. But if you listen to your girl, you should know there is something out there that she likes. Even if you were maybe on your first date, you walked by a candy shop and there are the fudgery where they, you know, sing and they make the fudge. They still do that. They did that at Union Station years ago. I love that. Anyway, you walk by a candy store and she makes a comment or something. You get her a pound of fudge or whatever the case is. But the point is, you really, really need to listen to your woman to make it a home run this year for Christmas because those are the things that she's going to remember. My wife is she's a hippie spirit, and so she's very earthy. She's a vegetarian. I've mentioned that on the show before. And seriously, her birthday was in September. I had no idea what to do. I literally was walking through Dollar General, and as I walk through the front doors, I look over, and they had this sale rack. She's not listening right now. I know that for sure. But they had the sale rack. There was this really cool hippie-like shirt that, hanging on the rack, and it came with a little necklace. It was $10. It's not even about the money. And she loved it, and she's worn it several times. She has no idea it came from the Dollar General. It doesn't matter. I was in there to buy toilet paper and kitty litter. I come out with one of the best birthday presents I've given her in my life. So it's a matter of knowing who she is, listening to her, and then acting on it. If it's her favorite food or if her, like I said, the shoes. Now, here's the other thing that I kind of know. If you want to buy her a blouse or a pair of pants or, you know, clothing of some kind, usually I would say don't do it because I rarely ever do that except for that one shirt. But if you're baffled on what size she wears, it's right there in her closet, whether it's the shoe size, the top size, the I'm just telling you, little tip from Uncle Bo. I'm just what else? Jewelry. You have no idea what her ring size is. Now, if you're married, she probably never takes that wedding ring off, but if she wears other jewelry on other fingers, you can take that ring from her jewelry box, go to the jewelry store, and say, oh, this is her size. I want to get this ring in this. See, sneaky. I'm sorry. Crafty. That's what we're going to go with. So good luck with that on you new relationships out there as the shopping continues. Tomorrow, of course, Cyber Monday. Good luck with that. We have more coming up on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews. Stick around. This is The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews, and I want to share with you a beautiful, beautiful love story that I learned about. And I was like, I want to talk to this guy who wrote this article, and it was found on The Stream, I guess is the stream.org. And welcome into the show on KMOX, Nolan Peterson, and a foreign correspondent for The Daily Signal, and still are, is that correct?
That's true. Yes, correct.
So, Nolan, I have to tell you that minutes before this phone call, I find out this unbelievable book that you have written. I just find out about it because I'm calling you about this love story about you and your wife, because this is you basically seeing America through kind of new eyes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I took after it. So let's start with the love story, if you don't mind, because it's just a beautiful read. And you said at the beginning of the article, I'll never be this. She says, I'll never be the same. And so please start. How did you meet her?
So I met my wife, Lilia, living in Ukraine. I've been living in Kyiv, Ukraine, reporting on the war since the war began in the summer of 2014. And as I write about in my book, Why Soldiers Miss War, I was a pilot for U.S. Special Operations, and I served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And when I left the military, I went through something which I think is very common for many men and women who leave military service, particularly among combat veterans. That's I think I lost a sense of purpose in life, a sense of meaning to what my life meant.
Right.
And for me, to try and recreate that sense of purpose and direction, I became a war correspondent. And that led me to report on the war in Ukraine. I returned to both Iraq and Afghanistan as a journalist, and I embedded with the Kurds, for example, in the battle for Mosul against Islamic State. And I was on a bit, I have to admit, of a downward spiral, and I was taking greater and greater risks. I lost friends, including James Foley, a journalist who was beheaded by Islamic State. Mm. And so for me personally, it wasn't until I met my wife and I fell in love with her that I was finally able to recreate that sense of like selfless purpose that I had experienced in the military. And, you know, a long story short, but her love saved me, essentially.
Well, and love wins all, right?
That's certainly true. And I think, you know, although my story is of somebody coming back from war, I think the story is really applicable for everybody. And I, you know, in this day and age, we live, you know, in modern society, somewhat lonely lives. We're so consumed with the social media and the internet, the news cycle. And I think, you know, the message I try to get across is that, you know, at the end of the day, love kind of gives you that sense of purpose and direction in life that I think many of us may find that we're missing in this day and age.
Well, Nolan, I want to thank you for your service. I'm an Air Force brat. I was born in Japan, actually. And okay. I didn't serve. My father said I was not military material. So I know I respected him when he said that as I was leaving high school. And so I went this route to be in radio. My daughter served in the Army during the 2003 Iraq war. And mm-hmm. it was frightening to be a part of that. And she is home safe, has kids now, and it's, you know, she's fine. Physically, she's fine, but there are so many challenges that our soldiers that are in and that come home and get out of their units have to go through. And we hear of the, you know, 22 a day and all these horrible things
mm-hmm.
because I don't know how you can watch any kind of movie. As a civilian, I can watch a movie and go, how do they keep that adrenaline going all the time? And adrenaline is certainly part of it, wouldn't you say?
Yes, definitely there's, you know, sort of the high of being in a war zone, which is something that soldiers miss, the title of my book, Why Soldiers Miss War. But I also think, like, it's really important to make clear that when soldiers come back from war, most of the times they're not necessarily traumatized by what they experience. Now, it's not the fear or, you know, the terror of war which causes what we commonly refer to as post-traumatic stress.
Right.
In my experience, a lot of times, it's just the fact that when you're in a war zone, you experience a spectrum of emotions, which is, it just far exceeds anything you experience in normal life.
As a civilian. You can't do it.
And you live among a tribe of people who you depend on for your life and vice versa. And you've developed respect for yourself and your position within that group. And then I remember when I left the military, I remember getting in my car with all my stuff packed, driving off base and just thinking like, now what? Who am I?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of soldiers, it's not necessarily the stress or the trauma of combat which leads to perhaps, you know, fall into a dark place after war. It's really just not being able to find the sense of meaning in normal life, which they had felt in a war zone.
Do you think that it's because maybe the military does a bad job of decompression, of getting out? You know, like my daughter, when she came back from Iraq on her first tour, actually, she literally goes from the airport to a car dealer to buy a brand new car. You know, she got all this money in the bank. And I'm like, oh my, we had a car for her. We literally had one waiting for her. And, you know, she just wanted to go get her favorite car. She survived this. Now she wanted this. So is it that problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly things that the military can do to help veterans decompress when they get home. And I think, you know, when I was in the military, I have to say, I think the Air Force did a pretty good job. And they would give us a couple weeks of leave to spend time with our families. And then you go back to work, and when you go back to work, you're around other people who, you know, were in Iraq or Afghanistan with you. So you're not really alone. I think the problem is mainly when you leave the military, that you experience kind of that sense of isolation most acutely. A good example from my time as a journalist is when I was with the Kurdish Peshmerga soldiers in Iraq. You know, they go to war as a family, literally, like fathers, sons, daughters. Wow. They go to war together, and then they all come home together. And so after the war, they're still surrounded by that tight-knit community of warriors that they had been in combat with. And the incidence of post-traumatic stress are much lower in among the Kurds than that rate is among our soldiers. And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, not losing that sense of identity and meaning that you felt in war the way our military members often do when they come back home.
Well, this is amazing. Your book just came out in October, and it's called Why Soldiers Miss War, The Journey Home. You can find it on Amazon. Is there an audiobook version of it as well?
Not yet, but I hope to do that. That's the way I love to listen to books.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes I just don't have enough time. The biggest takeaway, would you say this is a boost for those that have gone through war and that are back now, similar to you? Who's best to read this, or is it just anybody?
I think, speaking about the book, I think certainly from the veterans who've read my book and the feedback I've gotten, it certainly touches on things that I think that many veterans have felt, but they've had a difficult time articulating, which I think for me as an author, that's the greatest compliment you can get, right? Is that you're able to find the right words to experience something that a lot of people are going through. But I think, like I said earlier, I think, you know, my personal journey and kind of searching for that sense of meaning in life and ultimately having it come down to love, I think is a story that is applicable to everybody.
Sure. It really is. It hit me
in
too.
In this day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love it. Ask most combat veterans to name the worst experience of their lives, and they'll probably tell you it was war. But ask them to choose the best experience of their life, and they'll probably say war. It's just amazing because it is so true. It's Nolan Peterson, our guest. He is the foreign correspondent for Daily Signal, and his new book released in October, Why Soldiers Miss War, The Journey Home. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
All right, this is At Your Service. I'm Bo Matthews on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. My name is Bo Matthews. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you're enjoying this day, maybe with family, maybe with friends, maybe you're working or on your way to work, or maybe you're all by yourself. Thank you for listening to KMOX. You know, it is a huge shopping weekend, they say. I mean, the Black Friday special started, what, a month ago? Christmas decorations went up before Halloween was over with. Well, we are still celebrating shopping. Yesterday was Small Business Saturday. Tomorrow's Cyber Monday, whatever they're calling it now. There's a lot of cool things out there, but I want you to beware that when you are shopping for things, people are like, oh, everybody should have one of these. Remember when Alexa was a big thing? Everybody had the Dot or whatever. Well, Roomba has been around for many years, and I've had a Roomba before, and they're very convenient, and they've improved them so much. But be careful. The robots are taking over the world. At least they're starting with our pets. Did you see this headline in the Post-Dispatch? Police called after Roomba vacuum sucks up dog in Baldwin. I'm like, what? Now, I've owned a Roomba. I know that there's very tiny dogs out there, and I know that Roombas are getting, you know, bigger and more capacity, but, huh, really? Well, Aaron Heffernan of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote that headline, caught my attention, and caught several people's attention. I had to click. Baldwin officers received the call Friday morning from the Oak Tree Farm neighborhood. A worrying Roomba had sucked up the tail of an unsuspecting Shih Tzu mix. Now, Shih Tzus are very tiny, but it didn't suck up the whole dog. The headline should be, police called after Roomba vacuum sucks up dog's tail in Baldwin. See, you wouldn't have clicked on that, though. That's why they do. That's how they get you, right? Well, the police were able to come in, cut off some fur of the dog's tail, and free it, and everything's fine. The dog was shaken, but not stirred. I'm sorry, but not injured. Sorry. But if you think you're thinking about getting a Roomba as a gift for somebody, well, it's a good idea, I think. I actually think, I don't know if they have this, but Roomba needs to come up with a Roomba for my garage that will clean up heavy duty stuff, gravel, that kind of, that would be fantastic. As shopping continues, you will be seeing a lot of people with their hands out. Of course, you'll see Salvation Army bell ringers, and I encourage you to donate. That is such a fantastic organization. And no matter where you are, if you're listening to KMOX and you are listening in Portland, Oregon, or you're listening in Granite City or St. Charles, or you're in Georgia listening, maybe you're a fan of the Cardinals or whatever, no matter where you are, there's going to be a toy drive going on close by. And I promise you that Santa would love to have you as an honorary elf. So if you happen to go buy a toy drive, do the elf thing and make a donation, whether it's cash or maybe you can drop off a toy. That would be fantastic. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be involved with a toy drive coming up next week. And a good friend of mine for many, many years, Chuck Mayer, is actually leading the charge of this toy drive. Chuck?
Yes.
Hey, Chuck, how are you, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, buddy.
Are you in the spirit?
I'm getting there.
Come on. You got to get there, man. Chuck and his wife, Kim, own Realty Executives Premier in High Ridge, Eureka, Washington Pacific, and they are some of the most generous people. And, Chuck, I just wanted to say we had to talk today because your annual toy drive is already next weekend, and we talked just a bit ago talking about toy drives all over the area, all over the country, and donate to them. And let's talk about the one that you and I are specifically working together on at Walmart in High Ridge.
Yeah, well, you and I have been working together on them for about 20 years. And what's good about our toy drive is everything stays local. It stays here in our community. Helps local kids, local families.
As a lot of them do. But some of the organizations or some of the police, the people that you talk to or you work with to get the toys to, we collect them, we collect the cash, we collect the toys. And then who are you actually getting the toys out to? Organizations?
Well, we work directly with the school counselors. They're in touch with the families, the kids that are in need. So we work with the school counselors here in the area, the local police department, local fire department. And then we work also with the foster kid program for Jefferson County. But everything, like I said, everything we do stays local. So it stays right here in our community.
I just saw in the Leader newspaper about their, you know, still trying to struggle to get to do this party for 500 foster kids. And I just think that's a beautiful thing that people are actually doing this work to help this happen. It's just amazing.
Well, thank you to you and some of our local business friends. I know Joe Duver's over at Vinyl Images has been a huge part of it for years. Bobcat's going to be there. Bigfoot's going to be there again this year. They just called me today and confirmed that.
Yeah, we want to make sure that everybody knows that every toy drive that's going on is fantastic, but nobody has a Bigfoot monster truck.
Right. They had some scheduling conflicts, but they've been doing it with us for 20 years, so they moved some stuff around to make it happen, which thank you to them. So.
And what that means is that Bob Chandler is the man who invented Bigfoot, the very first monster truck. Now there's, you know, monster trucks all over the world, but still Bigfoot is the original monster truck. What they do is one of their drivers brings out the 18-wheeler with a Bigfoot monster truck in it and sets it up. Now, as a kid, I just loved Bigfoot, the monster truck toy, because I never went to the shows. I had no idea, and I grew up in Minnesota. But here you have the home of Bigfoot, the original monster truck, and now we're great friends with the Chandler family and Bob Trent and his wife. I mean, it's just amazing. Ann Trent is a force to be reckoned with. And to be able to bring your family out to Walmart in High Ridge and get a picture with the real monster truck that jumps 40 feet in the air, 900 feet down the, I mean, it's an opportunity you just can't pass up. Am I right?
No, and it's amazing. It's just our friendship over the years with Bigfoot. I mean, they make things happen, you know, for the kids, not just our toy drive, but for the overall, for the families and, you know, kids here in the area. So
they are absolutely
great people.
They are absolutely one of the best parts. I mean, they are as important to me as Anheuser-Busch and the Gateway Arch. I mean, this is Bigfoot country, and here they are. And then come to find out, they are such nice people, you know?
Right.
I think the coolest thing about Bob Chandler to me, and I've had several conversations over the years, is number one, he invented monster trucks and grew into what he is now. And number two, he is the biggest fan of his own sport that he created. You can't find anybody like that. I mean, it's crazy.
No, he's definitely a living legend. So he's a start of it. He's the one who invented it.
It's amazing. Yeah, and a matter of fact, I have a YouTube video of the first time he ever put oversized tires on his truck. It was a story about him being in Alaska and the gravel road to Alaska tore his tires up so much, and that was the first time. And go check out my YouTube video. See what I'm talking about. It's actually one of the most viewed videos on my YouTube channel, BowTube. It's actually kind of funny. But, Chuck, let's get back to the toy drive. It's next Saturday. Starts at 9 a.m., goes till 5. Walmart Supercenter parking lot in High Ridge. And the cool thing is, you know, people are, anymore, people are so busy. They're busy. They have no time. And the cool thing is a lot of your real estate agents are going to be out there collecting money. So if you don't have time to shop for the kids, we'll do the shopping for you. Plus, Walmart's really generous with us doing the elfin and shopping, correct?
They are. Walmart and High Ridge, I mean, they've bent over backwards to help us for the last 5 years. But, yeah, we have wish lists. And if you don't have time to do the shopping, we have agents there that will do the shopping and fill the wish list for the kids. So. And if you don't have time to go by Walmart, they can drop it off at any of our offices also if they want to drop a toy off.
Oh, okay. So the Realty Executives Premier offices, again, I mentioned High Ridge, Eureka, Pacific, and now you're brand new out in Washington. Steve Flannery is the boss out there, and so you have a location out there. And how long will you be taking those donations at the offices?
We're actually going to be taking them up to the 19th. We're going to be doing another delivery. We'll be delivering them on a Sunday afterwards, but we'll be delivering them up until the 21st of December.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, this is such a cool opportunity. Like I said, do your part and be an honorary elf of Santa by helping out the toy drive that's going on. And what else is going to be on display that you know of or that you can speak of? Because Bigfoot is, I mean, that's worth the trip out to High Ridge, Missouri anyway. But what else is going to be on display?
There's going to be probably between 6 and 12 show trucks out there, lifted show trucks. We're waiting on confirmation. We have at least 6, and we're hoping for 12. Big Boys Toys is going to bring out their swivel truck, which is a big truck where they can lift up a tractor trailer, actually, and bring it out of a ditch.
I'll tell you.
That'll be out there. Bobcat's going to be out there.
I just saw Big Boy Towing going up the 44. Man, they were blazing, had their lights blaring. Those guys do a great job.
They're good people also.
And they will help people that are in the nastiest situations. Like you said, they're bringing out the rig that pulls out 18-wheelers out of the hole.
Correct. And then they're local people, too. There was a woman coming through town. She was going to the doctor. Her car broke down. She didn't have the money to fix it. They towed it up to Selbert's here in Eureka, and for free, and someone's fixed it for him. So, I mean, that's the community out here. It's we all stick together. We help each other.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And you said, what else is going to be out there? What other company? Equipment company?
Bobcat's going to be out there. Going to bring out a new Bobcat again.
that means Chuck's going to be shopping again.
Yep. Jerry Kirk from Brookdale Farms is bringing out his 1959 steak truck.
Wow.
We've got a lot of people coming, a lot of people showing up. So
there's a lot to
It'll
see.
It'll be a fun day. Yeah, it is.
If you have never met Chuck or his wife Kim, it is time to come out and meet the Realty Executives Premier crew. I've been working with them a long time. We've got news about the Big Dogs Poker Bash that's going to break right after the first of the year. If you played in that game, please stay tuned for that. But the toy drive, helping Santa out, is our focus at this point. And Chuck, I know you guys do all these wrapping parties and these deliveries. Have you ever been on the delivery where you actually see the kids get the toys that are
collected? I have, several times.
Any family pop out to your mind that just...
It's just amazing seeing the kids light up when, Santa Claus comes to their house and brings the toys in. We bring them in on fire trucks, bring them in police cars. It's just seeing the kids light up and getting stuff that they really want to, and a lot of kids, they don't want toys. They want clothes or they want shoes where they can fit in with their peers. And that's what warms your heart when you see a kid getting a new shirt. It really makes a difference, or a new pair of shoes.
Wow. Well, as great as this country is doing right now, there is still a huge sect of people that are struggling, that are, working two and three jobs, maybe single parent families. Maybe just a lot of kids. It's just a lot. And for some reason, the need is there. And we don't even need to know the reason. Santa Claus, he doesn't need to know the reason. But we do know that we want to put a smile on the kids' faces. And that's exactly what this toy drive is going to do. And like I said, if you're nowhere near High Ridge, Missouri, in the Walmart out there with Bigfoot, if you're in Fairview Heights at a toy drive, and you're shopping and you see a toy drive or a toy collection being done, just please donate, because Santa Claus is everywhere, just like Jesus. And if you're in St. Charles or St. Peter's and you're out running around and you're getting frustrated, I want you to just think about maybe the great childhood you had, or that one gift that made you really go, wow, Santa Claus really does exist. That's the time you need to give. You give from your heart, you'll sleep better, and you'll feel the goodness that you've done. So I encourage you to donate at any toy drive. But again, you can actually go to the Bo Matthews Facebook page, all my social media platforms, at Bo Matthews, BOMATTHEWS, and look for the information on this toy drive, the only one having Bigfoot Monster Truck on location. Thank you to them for showing up. But it's Saturday, December 7th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and I was just actually grabbing my phone to see what the weather forecast that far out, because they really do predict that far out. It looks like, leading up to that week is still going to be in the 50s by Thursday, so I think we'll be okay.
We'll be fine. We've done it at 8 degrees, and we've done it at 70 degrees. It all works out.
And we're still here to talk about it.
We're still here to talk about it.
All right, Chuck Mayer of Realty Executives Premier, thank you again for joining me on the phone. Have the great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend, and we will see you next Saturday, buddy.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate it.
You betcha. And that's going to do it for me. I'm Bo Matthews. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving holiday weekend. For executive producer Dave Klein, I'm Bo Matthews. Take care. This is the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.